I want to talk today about what I call the understanding the prophetic. Let me put it like that, okay? So you can use different expressions, that the dynamics of prophetic operations, prophecies and life, me and the prophecies of the Bible, whichever way you want to put it, all right? But I want to explain the way prophetic things work, all right? And you'll see where I'm going to in a moment. Now, you know we've been studying about the life of Moses. Now, if you're listening to this, maybe on CD or whatever, if you're not present physically, let me explain what happened. And those of us who are here, follow it. We're talking about the life of Moses, right? Learning from Moses. That's what we called it. And we're learning a lot of things from the life of the person Moses. And last time, the last two times that I spoke on that, I began to speak about the matter of the prophecies, the life of Moses as it had to do with prophecy. Let me just remind us, and for those who were not here, so they can get it. We explained that Moses, if I let's just read the scripture just to connect, the Haggai chapter 12, I'll just read it. Let me quote it for those who don't know. It's verse 13. Hosea chapter 12, verse 13. He said, by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel from Egypt. And by a prophet, he was kept, or he was sustained, or he was preserved. Now, what we learn from that is that Moses was called to be a prophet. But in the early days of his life, he did not understand that. He thought he was just supposed to deliver the people of Israel from captivity. And having that feeling, having that impression inside him, he went about it the way that he knew to do, which was to try and, you know, raise political, how do I say it, uprising. You understand my point? Like they are doing in Syria right now. You understand what I'm saying? Like they did in Egypt, they did in Tunisia. That was a kind of mindset that Moses had. But the Bible makes it clear that that was not what God wanted. So God called Moses to be a prophet, not really an arranger, not an organizer. All right? We discussed that the last two meetings on this subject. I will therefore jump it. But let me just say something before I jump it entirely. The lesson there is this. Something just struck me. Because I've had that argument a lot of times with people. Let me just say it. I will be open. Sometimes Christians come up and they will start telling you about how, as Christians, we should be politically minded. And you know I believe that there are different aspects of life. You understand my point? And that God called us to different aspects. Once I was in a meeting in Lagos, and a man was brought to come and speak. And it's one of those days that, out of anger, I wanted to pick my Bible and walk out. In fact, I was so angry, I wanted to get up and leave. Except that my friend beside me said, "Banky, relax, relax." I just said, "Look, boy, let's go. What kind of nonsense is this?" The man was preaching. Now listen to this. And you have to be careful because Christianity is different from what is normal in life. Now, the man was preaching like this. That Christians are too docile. He raised Ganifar and me up. You understand what I'm saying? And began to tell us in effect, look at Ganifar and me and be like him. Why? Because we all know Ganifar and me. He was a human rights activist, a political commentator, and what's the other word? Anyway, a critic. You know, he was a fighter, all right? Like Nelson Mandela style. You understand my point? Now, please, follow something, and you'll see the life of Nelson Mandela. I'll bring something out from there. And the man was going on and on, essentially saying that the problem with we Christians is that we just keep quiet. We don't do anything. We don't do anything. How many Christians can rise up and stand in front like Ganifar? And listen, let me tell you something. If you are saying that in a Luther meeting, you know, when Association of National Students and Graduates of Nigeria and those who did not go to school in Nigeria put together one association, you can say that. It doesn't concern me. But when you get into church, be careful what you say. You know why? The operations of the body of Christ, they are very different. That day, when he was going on and on, I was angry. There was a time he said that, listen, one of the reasons why he has to do what he's doing is that he has to show people that he's not begging for money. So that when he comes and talks, they will see that he has been smiling to the banks. That was when it got me angry. I wanted to get up and go away. That, listen, that's one thing that's called the wisdom of God. This is the wisdom of God. You understand my point? That Paul said, as poor, yet we can make many rich. Are you getting my point? Jesus said something about God's wisdom. He was describing John the Baptist. That when you went out into the wilderness, what did you go to see? Did you go to see a man that was well-dressed, wearing gold, wearing fine linen? He said, no, such people, when you want to see them, you go to king's palaces. He said, what did you go to see? A prophet? I tell you, more than a prophet. Because of all men ever born of women, none was as great as John the Baptist. And he said something, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he. Now, notice something here. John the Baptist was wearing rags. He was wearing, goat skin. He wasn't feeding fine. Yet, the princes of the land, the Pharisees, the rulers, they will send delegations to go and talk to John the Baptist. The reason why Herod imprisoned him was that his speech could move the whole country against Herod. Did he smile to the banks? Listen, Christianity and this common sense is not the same thing. Common sense is different from Christianity. Listen, once I heard somebody say that we have to move and walk so that Christians will be united. I want to say, sir, it's a waste of time. No political arrangement can bring unity in Christianity. You know what the Bible says brings unity? Maturity. Go and read Ephesians chapter 4. Until we all come, are you getting my point? We come into the unity of the faith, unto a perfect man, unto the stature of the measure of Christ. Let me just quote it because of time. All right? That's Ephesians chapter 4. All right? When he said, he gave gifts unto men. These are the things they do. That is, when they bring you up to maturity, unity is automatic. When you see division in the body of Christ, it's not a lack of political arrangement. It's a lack of spiritual maturity. Are you getting my point? Listen, somebody said, my wife quoted it some time ago here, that this is how husband and wife gets closer as Christians. That they get closer to God. That is like a triangle. God is at the top. You, that's angle A, B, C. A is God. B is husband. C is wife. The closer B and C get to A, the closer they are to each other. If you're trying to move towards each other directly, you don't have the energy to do it. What you do is allow God draw you closer to him. Are you getting my point? In effect, you will discover each other in God. Listen. Unity in the body of Christ can never be negotiated on a table. It can only come as a result of individual and collective maturity. So this is how you know churches that are pastored by babies spiritually, or people who are totally stunted. They've been there for a long time, but they're not growing anywhere. When the church opposite us, is organizing a program, we quickly do our own so that our members won't go there. Just know that pastor, his breast milk is even dilute. Do you get my point? Listen, let me just explain something to you. You've heard Redeemed Christian Church of God say something, all right? That they want to have a church within every 5 minutes walk or 15 minutes drive. I said, listen, that vision, hear ye the word of the Lord, the way most of them are interpreting it will never come to pass. What are you saying, Pastor Banky? Until you recognize that the next church should be counted. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. The next church should be counted. It is not that, look, you pass a church, you know, is a living church. Your friend is the pastor. You decide that Redeemed Church is not near there yet. You're out of your mind. Leave that one. Go to a place where neither your friend nor a Redeemed Church is. Then you will discover that indeed, this earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. We are using energy to pour something into where other people have already poured water. So we have swamps in some areas and deserts in other places. You are following what I'm saying? Unless you want to tell yourself that we're in the church. If you say, God will have to prove you wrong. Listen, I'm bringing an issue to you here. You find that unity does not come by negotiation. It comes by what? Maturity. So as you mature as a Christian, you learn to do what the Bible calls discerning the body. Please, I hope you know what I'm saying. I hope you get what I'm going to explain. It doesn't make sense now trying to plant a church in South Korea that because you want to count. When between Yonggi Cho and a few of his brothers, they gather like 5 million people. Go and check what Paul, Peter and co. said to Paul. When Paul went and gave a report of what has been happening, they said, go and read that book of Galatians, that we realize that the same God that was strong working with us has been strong working with Paul. Therefore, they blessed Paul and said, go. That is what some of us should do. I say, oh boy, some of you know how to handle that tough northern region. No? We don't have that grace. But we have 10 million naira. Take. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. You find that there's some areas you can't handle. That's why some pastors disappear. When they carry you to Bayelsa on top of Kano to do church, you will decide that you are not called, even if you are called. Instead of you planting one nonsense branch, there go. You will see one pastor that he swims for breakfast. He hears revelation only when he's underwater. You don't need to plant a church beside there. Send the guy books. Send him tapes. Buy him a satellite dish. Call him and say, what's the problem? Is your canoe leaking? Buy him an American-made, you understand what I'm saying? A floating platform. Bring the money that you wanted to use to send one guy who's afraid of water. Give that guy. He will plant 20 branches in 1 year. You wouldn't believe it. You are getting what I'm trying to explain? That's how maturity, and that's how what they call unity comes. When we grow and we are able to discern the body of Christ. Please, I digress into that to bring out an issue. Listen. The way Christians operate is different from the way the world operates. CAN, Christian Association of Nigeria, is good. It's an organization. It's a very good organization. But there are unbelievers there. I hope you know. PFN is good. They have more believers proportionally than CAN. But even TB Joshua wants to join PFN. According to Fela, waiting unite for United Nations. You see what I'm not explaining? No, Fela they smoke, but man, the guy been getting some revelations. What is the point? Organizations can't unite you. Only truth and maturity can bring you into unity. You know, I've been telling you about marriage for a long time. Any book that tells you, you know, half of the any marriage counseling done by an unbeliever is not marriage counseling. You cannot listen, because the only thing that makes marriage sweet is an infusion of the Spirit of God. If God does not pour his Spirit into it, discussion, oh my Father. Let me just leave that one. Discussion can't work. The Bible says he withdraws his Spirit and they expire. Once God brings his Spirit out of a place, the thing disintegrates. You cannot negotiate life back into it. You get my point? That's why those that used to tell you, I hated and I still today despise the expression motivational speaker. Because some of the words we used to speak on radio used to motivate people. So I went for a meeting. I saw the way they printed booklet and put my name there. Guest speaker. They put my name and put on that motivational speaker. I said, everybody, bring out your booklet. Take a pen. Start drawing on top of that word, motivational. Why? Because you cannot motivate a dead man to walk. Speak from now till tomorrow, he can only decay. You must have life. The Father has life in himself and he has given the Son life and given him the power to impart life into anyone. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That is the only thing that can make that man that was dead, make him rise and begin to walk. So no matter how much talk you talk, I hate the idea of motivation. You can only motivate those who are alive. In the same manner, all right? If a marriage is dead, you can't talk love back into it. That's why in that my book, should I say yes, I refer to what Ed Koh called the circumcised marriage. And the story is just what I loved about it. Dead romance, dead relationship. You want it back to life, there's no negotiation. Kneel down, let's pray it back there. When the spirit returns, then we can ask, I explain to you how to use the spirit, how to cooperate with the spirit to bring love and joy into your life. Please, what I'm going to emphasize in all of these things is the ministry of the prophet. In Christianity, we operate by prophecy. Listen, people say, can't you organize? In this day, you know, because of the crisis in Nigeria, anytime I hear that, can't you organize? The prayer I want to pray is that God disorganized them. Yes, because you put your faith in the wrong place. You organize and go and see the president to do what? I don't want to go into that area. That was what Moses was trying to do. Organize. And God said, no. You are supposed to what? Prophesy. The point I'm making is this. The way by which we change the nation is not by being a social commentator. We don't have to join any political party as a Christian so you can change the nation. If joining a political party is part of your career, it's good. Are you getting my point? But don't think that Christians need to get more involved in politics than the nation will change. Crap. Nonsense. It's a fat lie. Join politics if you are called into governance. Amen? That's all. And do your calling. I will not join politics. I'm a preacher. My wife ain't joined politics. Many of you here will join. You will be governors, you'll be senators, and one day, a president. But not so that you will go there and change the country. That will only happen when, listen, you must understand that doctrine of the appointed time. No matter the zeal you have in your heart, no matter the intensity of that zeal and the power in your soul, if you try to jump ahead of the appointed time, you will land in the land of the Midianites. I'm telling you. With all the zeal in Moses, wanted to extract the people out by force. Where did they land? In the wilderness with Jethro, priest of Midian. Why? I'm not making an issue here. You will see something. It is not just you enter into government, country is good. That's part of it. If you are in power, I expect you to do things that are right. And I believe very strongly that when God wants to change some things, what he does is to put people in power. But listen to this. Only when the time is ripe for him to bless the people thus. Because he says something. When I want to punish the Egyptian, I will put him into the hands of a cruel ruler. I decide who rules him, depending on what I want to do to him. I don't know what I hear. That is, it is not God. Give us good leaders. We pray that. You know, I pray that also. But that's not primary. Go and check my prayers. One thing is always first. Lord, have mercy on us. Because with that mercy, that good leader can't do anything. He won't even go there. He won't even get there, I wanted to say. It's only when God said, the time to favor Zion has come, then good leaders will appear out of, you said, these guys were here all this while. One of the things that makes me laugh in the world today, people don't know how to analyze things. They say democracy is good. That thing is a fat lie. There's nothing good about democracy. I didn't say it's bad, did I say so? But it's not the solution to anything. And let me just prove to you that they know it is not the solution. What is democracy? The majority decides, Abby. What about you have a nation where 99% are fools? You think it's a joke? Those who shout democracy, democracy, oh boy. they mellow the thing small, small. One day in Nigeria, many years ago, they said, democracy, democracy, end of military rule. Then they did democracy, and the Islamic militants won by fair vote. By fair vote. Oh boy, those rulings, we know the handover. And the champion of democracy, America, supported them. What was the argument? We know democracy is good, but you hand over to these guys, that's the last election. I said, but you said democracy. The populace spoke. Did they not speak? Democracy is not a solution to anything. I'm not campaigning against democracy. Do you understand? I'm going to explain something. Things seem to work. Whatever it is, when the appointed time to favor the people comes. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, if the appointed time to favor, let's say Nigeria comes, you will institute a monarchy and it will be good. You will bring back colonial masters and it will be good. All this noise you are making, let's tell ourselves the truth. If South Africa was a democratic country 100 years ago, they would be more backward today than Nigeria is. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. Look, don't let your blasting what they call solidarity deceive you. If they want to host World Cup in Africa now, where will he go? Talk the truth now. Where will he go? If they want to host Olympics now, where you go carry and go? They go carry and go Lagos. And that country was not built by my brethren, the black people. It was built because a minority was ruling. Anyway, you know, I'm having a problem right now to get back into the main message I want to preach today. But I hope you are following the point I'm making. That these Christians will look at life from a different perspective. We're not trying to rise. Arise, everybody. Move. It is good. But the truth is that the way by which we change a nation, are you getting my point? The way by which we change it is through operation of spiritual principles. So God said to Moses, oh boy, it is not this noise. Let me teach you how to prophesy. Let me teach you how to what? To prophesy. And that's why I said today, I want to go into teaching about what I call the dynamics of prophesying. Let me be like that. Or understanding the prophetic. Yeah, that's a simpler one. Understanding the prophetic. Because the way by which you operate is by prophesying. Please, I can't leave this yet. I want to talk about this nation a bit more. When you want to discuss, when you've gone to the beer parlor, you can talk nonsense. But when, you know what I mean? I hope you don't go to beer parlor, all right? But I'm going to say that when you are aware, everybody is not normal, you know, like they are half drunk. You can be discussing all those rubbish political talk. I said that's the problem of Nigeria. The truth of anywhere, any country, is that the problems are spiritual. And deliverance is by prophecy. That's what I'm talking about. Now listen, when the word of prophecy has gone out and it is working, it starts manifesting in different ways. And whichever way it manifests in this area, people who do not know, they think it's that method. They now want to copy it in a land that prophecy has not gone to water. And the Bible says it clearly. We'll see that in the book of Hebrews. That Moses, what happened? By faith, the nation of Israel, they passed through the Red Sea. And then when the Egyptians attempted it, what happened? They drowned. You don't attempt outwardly, all right, what a man who inwardly used prophecy to set his path straight. You don't attempt what he did outwardly, thinking it will work for you. You will drown. Why? What's keeping him safe is a prophetic word. And that's what I want to explain. Understanding the prophetic. So if you are listening to this and you get this message as number one in a series, actually we are carving out that series out of the whole series of learning from Moses. So we'll talk about this, understanding the prophetic for like 3, 4, 5 days, no matter, I don't know how long it take me. Then when we are through with that, we'll now go back to study other things about the life of Moses beyond this matter of the prophecy. You understand what I'm saying? Like for the last two sessions on that matter, we spoke on the prophetic matter, but I want to just give some more insight on this issue of prophecy. I want to just pull it out. So if you're getting this on CD, you see a series titled Understanding the Prophetic. It's just something, it's excised from the whole series, Learning from Moses. We'll now return to Learning from Moses afterwards. All right, the Lord is good. First thing I want to explain, all right, let's talk about the prophetic. You know, prophecy and predictions are two different things. Let's start with that. A prophecy is not a prediction. Let me tell you what a prophecy is. A prophecy is an utterance of the will of God. It is not a prediction. What's a prediction? A prediction is, how do I explain this? When you have worked things out, you understand my point? For example, if the clouds are very heavy, you can predict that it will rain. Do you follow? Oh, let me explain. All right? That's a prediction. You know, the current Olympics, United States is in the same group as Nigeria in basketball. In basketball. Oh, boy. In basketball. You know, if you say now soccer, you know, about football. I say, yeah, no. We'll teach them a few lessons. We can try that one. One's a basketball. Say, Father, we worship. Amen. Let that will be done. Why? It's called a prediction. You have seen the life of the Americans. Basket, that is, if they bring their college team, you understand, the second set in a normal college team, they are likely to win that goal. Oh, I don't want to just distract us talking about it. Now, but these are predictions. That's what I want to make. So when you hear that they beat Nigeria, you know what they said? We did not intend to humiliate Nigeria. Who asked you? Oh, you're not ready in this thing. You know, they beat Nigeria silly. Yes. Uh-huh. And they now said that, no, we did not intend to humiliate Nigeria. We are not saying you intended it. We are not angry. Are we angry? If Brazil beat us 4-0 in football, we'll be angry. Yes, we will. We don't care that you are Brazil. Why should you beat us 4-0? But in basketball, you beat us 150-0. It's basketball. And you are United States of America. Now, I'm bringing an issue. That's a prediction. A prophecy is different. This is a prophecy. Ah, say, now wow. Say, God, we are playing United States of America in basketball, in Olympics. You now ask, what will happen? Now, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. This is a prophecy. A prediction is your way things you know how it will come to pass. And it's almost like what's going to be is going to be. There's nothing you can do about it. A prophecy is like this. A word goes forth and say, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that's all. Nothing more than that. And then an interpretation of that word blessed comes out to you. And it says, all right, that one of the meanings is victory in any contest you go for. It's a prophecy. This interesting part, it doesn't say anything about United States. It does not say anything about Nigeria. It is to them according to their faith. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. I will explain it further. That's one side of it. There's another side in which God says that I have determined at this time to humiliate a nation whose president has said it is okay for men to marry men. I don't know whether I get my point. Therefore, listen, it doesn't matter how strong their army is, which is their basketball team. I'm not making an issue here. A prophecy is just an expression of the will of God, which has nothing to do with the current circumstances. But, listen to this one, I want to add to it. It might come to pass or may not come to pass, depending upon the situation of the hearts of those that the word comes to. That is, this is how prophecies are. We know the predictions, but let's assume two people in the Nigerian team. Before, when everybody was practicing, they said, coach, please give us time out. They go back into their closet and say, Lord, I do not believe that victory, you know, read from the scriptures, that the battle, the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong.